This is an injection pen.
And this is what it sounds like as I twist the back of it 18 times, loading a 0.25 milligram dose of Ozempic into the chamber. With every click, my thoughts cycle between counting to 16,
hating the tiny needle,
and the echoes that these small, innocuous sounds are having around the globe, just a little...
From the most talked about drug in the world.
Ozempic.
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 A drug with the power to shake the foundations of economies.
When it's spoken about, words like game-changing, life-changing, and world-changing are thrown around.
But so are words like side effects, elitism, cheating, profiteering, cancer, and Ozempic face.
There's a lot of sensationalism and a lot of fear.
Okay. Five, six, out.
Nevertheless, that was the recording I made of injecting my first dose of Ozempic into my belly fat. My name is Jonathan Varnker.
My name is Charlene Armstrong.
I weigh 98 kilograms at 171 centimeters, giving me a BMI of 33.5, which is obese class 1.
I weigh 86.3 kilograms and I am 169 centimeters tall, giving me a BMI of 30.2, also putting me in obese class 1.
In the next 3 months, I want to go from 98 kilograms to 88 kilograms.
I want to go from 86 kilograms to 76 kilograms.
Join us every week on Monday as we share our Ozempic diaries from day one to the end of 3 months.
We'll share our results and side effects and what we're doing with our exercise, nutrition, and habits to maximize the effects of Ozempic and to keep the weight off even after we stop taking it.
And of course, we'd love to hear from you.
We've set up a WhatsApp community where you can ask us questions, send us a voice message with your results or thoughts, and chat with other Ozempic curious listeners.
Oh, and by the way, neither of us are doctors, so don't take any of this as medical advice. This is a report of our experience in the hope that it will inform your own.
With all that context in place, let's get into episode one.
Hello and welcome to Ozempic Diaries, episode one. I'm Jonathan Varnker.
I'm Charlene Armstrong.
And today we're starting on an interesting journey, an experiment, an investigation, a three-month quest into Ozempic and using it as a tool for weight loss. Neither of us are diabetic, although it runs heavily in my family. Our first season is going to be 13 episodes, including this one, as we track the first 3 months of using Ozempic. So, Charlene, you and I don't know each other that well, personally. We met through the South African Podcasters Guild, and I know you through podcasting, but I've always been a great fan of your show, The Great Equalizer, which you produce so professionally, and you guys have been running for a long time now.
It was one of our babies, actually. We started it just after my second born was 6 months old, and she's now seven. So, yeah, we're going on 8 years.
Wow, that's intense. I just don't have that kind of grit, I suppose. You're a seasoned podcasting host then. You've got two shows, actually, right?
Yeah. So we started the Great Equalizer podcast, and then it evolved in such a way that Sam and I both have a great love for books, my co-host. We had so much book content that is not necessarily parenting and lifestyle related. And a lot of our listeners are avid readers as well. Hmm. And so it just kind of organically developed into a spin-off podcast of the main one, which is called TGE's Current Reads, TGE's standing for The Great Equalizer.
The Great Equalizer has a motto almost, which is hashtag no judgies.
And I want to kind of bring that line, yes.
Yeah. So I want to kind of bring that into this space as well, because Ozempic is a very judgied topic. And it's very interesting to be going through this process. And then we're going to talk about myth and stigma and the resistance to it. To set up like where I come from, I'm 44. I've got a son. He's 4.5 and a wife. I live outside of Cape Town. And my weight has gone up and down over the years. I always go on these missions where I drop down from, let's say, 85 to 75 or 90 to 75. I've worked at Virgin Active. When I lived in Japan for a while, I went on a kind of a health kick mission. So I've been all the way down to kind of six pack world. But what happened is that in the pandemic in 2020, We were trapped inside the house. My son was born in June 2020. And I just, there were two options during the pandemic. Exercise like mad because you've got spare time, or just kind of give up on it. And I chose route two, and I never quite escaped. You know, it was just a slippery slope. And at one point, I ended up being 105 kilos, which for someone who's 171 centimeters tall is bad. Bad for your health, bad for everything. And at the end of 2024, after this very big New Year's party, I weighed 102. So since then, I've been trying to build up the habits that are going to be useful on this experiment for the last month. So I've already lost 3 or 4 kilos. I was on 102. I'm on 98 right now. But I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get to like 95 and everything will be going fine and it'll stop. It'll plateau. And then I'll, no matter what tiny infraction I make with my diet, it'll bounce back up and then go back down and bounce back up. And this will go on for a few weeks and then I'll get frustrated and I'll probably crack. So I'm hoping to use Ozempic as a tool that will push me through those plateaus. And weight loss does plateau on the way down. I understand that. But I think anyone over 40 knows how hard it can be to see consistent progress. And lastly, to finish this rant is the reason I'm doing this, you know, I'm an old dad, relatively. My son was born when I was 40. I'm going to be 60 when he's 18. I want to be around for that. I want to be around for his 21st, for his 30th, maybe even his 40th. So diabetes does run quite heavily in my family, and I don't want to get there. And all the associated risks of heart disease and cancer that come with being overweight, I just want to get rid of those. And my current theory is that whatever the side effects of Ozempic are, they can't be as bad as heart disease, cancer, strokes, and all that kind of stuff. That's me. What's your story with weight and this mission?
My story is not too dissimilar to yours, actually. 2020 also, I took Route B. I was there with you in that boat, rowing. I was so depressed
not rowing.
And I just did not have, I was just sitting in the boat, shoving all the homemade takeout that everybody was creating.
What were we making? You know? Banana bread or what was the
banana
was
bread
the thing?
And my husband made some, he tried to mimic Nando's chicken and all sorts of things. Aside from that, I was overweight, having had my two children. I never really, I gained like 8 or 10 kilograms with my first pregnancy, and then I just piled on some more with my daughter. And then I was sleep deprived and exhausted because they're only 23 months apart, so it's quite a close gap. You've got two very little babies at home, and so exercise and fitness and stuff like that, it was last on my priority list. And I know it's not the same for everyone, but that was certainly my experience. Anyway, long story short, I had a health scare with a tumor that had grown on my ovary, and I decided I needed to do something. I managed to start walking, which then turned into running, made some diet changes. And over the course of the next 3 years, I made some real lifestyle shifts. It worked out very well. I turned 40, and I was my leanest and my fittest I think I'd ever been in my whole life, and the most comfortable in my skin as well. And very proud of myself for the hard work that I did. It was mostly weight training, some cardiovascular activity, but majority weight training and a very high nutrient, low calorie diet. And it successfully worked to the point where I lost, I think, 22 kilograms over a space of 4 or 5 months.
22 kilograms in 5 months. Wow. Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah,
well done.
It was a lot. It was such a jarring change that when people who hadn't seen me for a couple of months saw me, the reaction was like, oh my God, like that was fine. And I was managing it fine. And I had implemented these lifestyle changes. It was a huge mental shift for me as well. I learned a lot about myself and, you know, how you talk to yourself, the language you use. You know, as women, we're often very critical of and being mindful of having a young daughter and understanding the language you use around your own body. It's ultimately going to shape how she views herself and the language she uses when she describes herself, all the complexes she develops about her own, you know, her own body image and the perception of that. So I've always tried to be very mindful of that. And the self-loathing was just a big issue. So the biggest, I'd say, aside from the 22 kilograms that I lost, the biggest shift for me was this mental shift. And it was such a great feeling to be able to love myself, you know, and knowing that I'm looking after myself. And health became the driving force behind the weight loss. It started out initially being, I just hate the way I look and I want to feel better and look better and feel confident in my skin. And it, over the next few years, it became a, you know what, I'm getting older. I need to look after my health. And for my children, I want my children to look at their parents and see us as active, healthy people who can come and jump on the trampoline or jump in the pool or run on the beach and do those kinds of things. Anyway, so I was on a good trajectory. And then in like May of 2023, I started just feeling lack of energy and I couldn't find the discipline to go anymore. Finally went to the doctor, had some blood tests done. Turns out I have an iron deficiency, low iron, and I'm going into perimenopause.
Right.
So that has caused significant disruption in my estrogen and progesterone levels and even my testosterone levels. The low iron gives you lethargy, which is very difficult to get motivated and train. Regardless of what diet I'm following, I'm sticking. I mean, I've got the diet. I stick to the diet and I stick to it for 2 weeks. And then I have this emotional binge eating 2 weeks. So it's like this yo-yo. Right. Turns out the high estrogen that I'm having, because I'm in perimenopause, my estrogen can be down for 2 weeks of the month and then it can spike way up past the higher end of normal, which causes it's like, and I mean, you're a guy, so I'm sure you've heard the stereotypical stories of when you're PMSing and you're just like craving sweet things and you want to dig into a ice cream dish or whatever. My estrogen is so high that I'm perpetually PMSing. So I'm either crying or I'm losing my temper, or I just want to eat everything in sight. So,
right. Oh, hectic.
So
okay.
Basically, that's where I'm at the moment. And so after discussions with my doctor and trying to stabilize my hormones, in conjunction with that, we've come up with a plan to go on a course of Ozempic while we're stabilizing my hormones.
Let's pop on to weigh-in and goals. We both weighed in this morning. I think you said you're at 86.3.
I weighed yesterday 86.3. This morning, you know how it fluctuates a little bit. So this morning was 85.9, but it's thereabouts.
Cool. 85.9. What's your goal?
75.
Okay.
Yeah, to begin with.
And where are you going to be comfortable in the end, do you think?
In the end, I'd like to be between 69 and 72.
So my long-term goal is probably 75. I'm starting from a higher number, but my long-term is 75. But at the end of 3 months, I'll be happy with 88, which is 10 kilos less than where I am now. In terms of lifestyle transformation, I go to gym 3 days a week regularly anyway, and then I do a lot of dog walking and playing with my son as well, but I'm now working a bike ride in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So exercise 5 days a week is quite an intense schedule. What's your exercise vibe?
Yeah, so ideally 5 days a week would be great for me as well, realistically. And I have managed to do it successfully before, five out of the 7 days doing some activity. However, in recent months, more realistically, just based on my schedule, I want to aim for 3 weight training days a week and 2 type of cardiovascular activity. So whether the one be a run day or 2 run days or maybe cycling at the gym or something like that. But yeah, that's the aim.
Yeah. Plus all the ancillary running after your kids, which we both do as well.
Up and down the stairs.
Walks.
Yeah, we've got it. I don't have a beach, so I've got to go up and down the stairs at home.
Oh, no. Oh, hate stairs. My old enemy. Okay, so let's talk about the jab because we both did that last night. Let's get onto the diary section of this. Tell me about injecting yourself.
So I hate needles. I mean, I'm pretty much covered in tattoos, fine line little tattoos everywhere. Okay. I've got about 12 or 13 of the things. So you wouldn't say that I'm scared of needles. But even when I had to go draw blood to get tests done to, you know, for my hormones, and even if the needle isn't very big, it's the idea of jabbing a needle into your flesh. It's just, it's scary. I don't know what it is. Yeah. So I was like, I was nervous, but usually I'd feel like when I have to draw blood, sometimes I feel like I'm going to faint.
Right.
However, when I had to take the first jab last night, my husband was filming.
I saw.
And I was standing in the kitchen. I just had this little nervous giggle, and it was a bit of a anticlimax because I jabbed and I was like, is it in? I don't even feel it.
Right.
But once it was in and I clicked the push button and it started ticking. I didn't expect it to do that. That was quite weird.
Yeah, me either.
While you listen for the little counter to go down. And then I could feel my heart was racing, strangely enough. And then I just had to make sure I counted to six before I pulled it out. And yeah, it was fine. And then I was like, okay, that wasn't so bad. I can do this.
If anyone listening goes back to the introduction, the little section where I recorded myself injecting myself, you'll hear how shaky my breath is as I just before I did it. And then you hear at the end me counting five, six out, you know, trying to do it properly. But yeah, a little bit scary, much better than I thought it would be, obviously, once you've done it. And I think the next time I do it, it's going to be a joke. It'll be totally fine. But it's a boundary to get over, certainly. No one likes injecting themselves. No one's like, this is the best thing ever. And I can almost hear type 1 diabetics just laughing at us.
I was
right
just going to say, I feel like a bit of a hypocrite, like such a prima donna. Because, I mean, there are people who...
I'm so brave. You're so brave, Shani.
Yeah. My mom's got type 2 diabetes, and she also has, I wouldn't be surprised, I should actually ask, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the medication that she was prescribed, because it came in a pen, she kept it in the fridge, and I paid no mind to it, because it was years ago when she got the prescription, and she's also afraid of needles, and I remember her saying, I'm nervous, I've got to take this medication now, and I never spoke to her about it again, until all of this, it just came rushing back to me last night when I was doing it, and I was like, you're such a prima donna, Charlene. People have to do this all the time. And they do it because if they don't take it, they could die. And you're getting the medication prescribed for weight loss and insulin management, basically.
But now we're all grown up and we're ready to take the next one next week. And before we get on to the side effects and all that, let's jump into a little educational corner called Ozempic Johnsplained. Hi, welcome to my little corner of the podcast where I geek out on the science of Ozempic and drugs like it. In today's episode, we're just going to cover what Ozempic is and what it does. So Ozempic belongs to a class of medications called GLP-1 receptor agonists, which is a fancy way of saying it mimics a natural hormone in your body called GLP-1, which plays a big role in regulating blood sugar, digestion, and appetite. So how does it work? There are three main things Ozempic does. Firstly, it helps regulate your blood sugar. If you eat something that spikes your blood sugar, Ozempic signals your pancreas to release insulin only when you need it, helping keep your blood sugar steady and preventing crashes. Secondly, it slows down digestion. This means food stays in your stomach longer, making you feel full for way longer than usual. So you naturally eat less without feeling deprived. Thirdly, it reduces hunger and cravings. Ozempic interacts with the brain's appetite centers, basically turning down the volume on those signals that say, hey, I'm starving. For many people, it also changes cravings. Foods that once seemed irresistible might not be as appealing anymore. So the result is less hunger, fewer cravings, smaller portions, and gradual, sustainable weight loss. So it's important to note that Ozempic isn't a magic fix. You still have to make smart food choices and build good habits, but it does help remove some of the biggest obstacles to weight loss. And one more thing, while Ozempic was originally designed for type 2 diabetes, doctors quickly realized that it also helped with weight loss. Cue the following sound effect in their brains. That's why the FDA in America approved a higher dose version called Wegovy, specifically for obesity treatment. I haven't found Wegovy in South Africa. Right now, Ozempic is still the most available of GLP-1 in the country. Okay, let's get back to effects of the first jab. Did you have any side effects immediately or this morning?
No, I think I slept as usual. I was fully expecting to wake up and feeling some kind of nausea, which I very thankfully didn't. It has not yet happened. And I don't know if this is just in my own head. I feel a little bit more thirsty than normal, but it's been so hot in Joburg, so I don't know if that's related to the heat. And then I don't really eat breakfast early in the morning. I tend to have breakfast around 9, 10-ish every day because I'd go to the gym first and only after I'd showered and gotten ready for the day would I eat my first meal. But I don't feel like I'm getting hungry. Like, you know, you get to a certain point in the morning where you're like, okay, I feel like I'm starting to get hungry, and you check the time and you're like, oh, okay, it's when I normally have my breakfast. I have not felt... It's like I don't have an appetite at all. Like if I had to think this morning about, okay, what am I going to make that is nutritious and high in protein and, you know, good for me? And it's almost as though I have no inspiration because I generally cook with what would taste delicious, but I don't feel less for anything.
That's interesting because on my side as well, zero side effects. Went to sleep, woke up and went to gym. Gym was fine, didn't really notice any difference there. The last meal I ate before I took the jab was, I think it's 6 o'clock, so relatively early for dinner for me. So by the time I finished gym, I was hungry enough to have a little 2-egg omelet. It's still early in the day, so I've yet to find out if that's going to be that lack of appetite. It hasn't been a striking moment for me yet. So we'll find out throughout the day. But so far, I feel good. And I'm not particularly hungry right now after that omelet, but we'll see how it goes. And it doesn't feel, I think the only surprise that I've felt is that there's not more of an effect in that I didn't wake up going, you know, I need no food forever. You know, I've almost like oversold it in my own head.
You know what I think also is that you read the stuff about the severe nausea and some people vomiting and stuff like that. I guess maybe I almost expected to wake up feeling that like morning sickness, being like that. You have to drink a sip of water or brush your teeth and you're like, you literally can't put anything in your mouth because you're so gnar. You know? I think maybe I was expecting that. But I also have, and just this morning I got a WhatsApp from a friend who is also on the drug and had to go off of it for a bit and then checked with the doctor to say, do I now need to taper up again to where I was? Because he started on 0.25 milligrams, then 5 milligrams, then up to 1 milligram. And he was on 1 milligram when he stopped and couldn't find stock for 8 weeks. And so checked with his doctor, do I restart the tape from the tapering again or how does it work? And the doctor said, no, you're on 1 milligram, you just go straight in again at 1 milligram. He said it was awful. He was so, so nauseous. So I think it's definitely a dosage thing as well. And I guess that's why you taper, because you know, it's a lot for your system. And so you can't just like raw dog it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the day after the jab. In 1 week from now, we'll be bringing you a summary of our results, our diet, how we're feeling, and then we'll get into the stigma, the science, deep down the rabbit hole. But for now, I hope that you'll join us on this 3-month mission. I hope you'll follow along, follow the show, share this with anyone who you think might be interested. And don't forget, there's a link to our WhatsApp community in the show notes. Please follow us there, chat to us, send us any questions you have, send us a voice note with your results so we can share them on the show. We'd love to hear from you as well. Charlene, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Good luck with your week and may the side effects stay at bay.
Absolutely, for you too.